We've been talking this summer about discovering your destiny. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them it's time. Tell them it's time. Tell them like the 11 o'clock service does. Y'all got to keep up. Tell them it's time. Oh, there we go. To discover your destiny. To discover your destiny. This morning, I want to talk to you about understanding the itinerary. Now, if you go on a trip, if you go on a cruise, we've kind of been framing everything in terms of understanding cruise terminology this summer, that God has planned a trip for you beyond your wildest imaginations, but you understand an itinerary. And an itinerary very simply means a planned route or journey. An itinerary is a planned route or journey. It is a traveler's guidebook. Somebody say, a traveler's guidebook. How many of you know God has given us a traveler's guidebook? Amen. If you have a Bible today, hold it up. Let me see your traveler's guidebook. Maybe you're using a phone. Just hold your phone up and wave that blue screen at me. There you go. I see you up there. Itinerary involves three components, and they are very simply time, place, and activity. Three things that the itinerary will tell me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified, if you'd read it along with me on the screen, we've used this as our bedrock text in this series, and it very simply says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus." Anybody a new creation today? Praise God for all three of you excited. "Born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths," somebody say paths, "taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them." We should walk in those paths prepared ahead of time. "Living the good life," somebody say good life. "Living the good life which He," what is that P word? "Prearranged and made ready for us to live." I want you to understand today that God has prepared a path and a plan for your life. And it's up to each of us to discover that plan and to follow His plan for our life. Not because I have to, but because we realize that His plan is the best plan. His way is the best way. And so we're talking about understanding God's itinerary for your life. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's one of my absolute favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I want to make sure you understand that today's concept is critical to navigating this life for Christ successfully. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." If we're going to be the new person He's created us to be, we've got to change the way we think. But it's what He says next that I want you to grab hold of today. He says, "Then," or after that, "you will learn to know." You will learn to know. Well, what will I learn to know? I'll learn to know God's will. Somebody say God's will. Circle those two words, God's will. You will learn to know God's will for you. And then He tells us what God's will is like, which is good. Somebody say good. And pleasing. Somebody say pleasing. And perfect. Somebody say perfect. So God's will for you is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Isn't that good news today?
Absolutely. So to understand your itinerary, you need to understand what the will of God is. And Josh just said how the scripture says that it is good, it's pleasing and perfect. But what exactly is the will of God? The will of God is more than that. The will of God is God's predetermined plan for your life.
Yes.
In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good plan for my life. Amen?
Yes.
The will of God is also His predetermined path for your life. And that is found in Psalms 32, verse 8. The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best path for your life." He doesn't say, "I'm going to guide you against maybe a mediocre life or it's going to be okay life," but "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Because it's a path, the will of God is meant to be walked out one step at a time. One step at a time, one decision at a time, one day at a time. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, it says, the Lord directs the what? The steps of the godly. Now listen to this. I absolutely love this part of the scripture. He delights in every detail of their life. God Almighty, the maker of the universe, delights in the detail of your life. Sometimes we think God's too busy or my problem's too small for God. He delights in your detail.
Yes, I like
that. No matter how small, no matter how big, he knows every hair on your head. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of God you serve. And it goes on to say in verse 24, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand. What a promise to cling on to.
I like that. Though they stumble, we all stumble from time to time, but it says we'll never fall. Isn't that good? Anybody ever stumbled? Oh, praise God. But the Bible says we'll never fall. Amen. Here's what you've got to understand today. Everything you'll ever need is in the itinerary. Everything you'll ever need is already in the will of God. I think back over our lives. I think back to 1999 for me when I returned to Christ and he saved me and filled me with his spirit. I think about your life and your path from the time you've been a baby all the way through, how we've submitted our lives and every decision, everything to following Jesus before we met and then after we met. And that's so important that you understand that purpose is inside living in God's will. God's peace can be found inside living in his plan and inside his itinerary. Satisfaction, reward, fulfillment, security, identity, meeting the right people, going to the right places, living in health, prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. Most of all, a legacy. In other words, living a life worth repeating, setting an example. Inheritance is what we leave to people, but legacy is what we leave in them. All those things are found in God's plan, in the itinerary for our life. Your story is in the book. Let me try that again. Your story is already in the book. And the will of God has never failed me. It's never let me down, not one time. And it's exciting. It's an adventure. It's something that he reveals to us step by step, piece by piece, like headlights on a car. You know, they shine out 300 or 400 feet. And as I drive 300, 400 feet farther, then I can see even farther. As I obey each step, he reveals the next. And his will has always helped us make the right decisions. It guided me to the right career path for my life when nothing else was working. It guided me to the right college when it came time for me to find the right college. It guided me to marrying the right woman. And they were all connected because as I got on the right career path and found what God's calling for my life was and I began to seek him first instead of what I wanted, I remember sitting in my pastor's office and he said, I want you to go check out World Harvest Bible College in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, okay, I'll go look at it. And so I got on a red-eye flight really early in the morning from OKC to St. Louis so I could get to Columbus. And there, when I got on that plane, there was this little brunette sitting behind me in the middle of the night. And the first thought that crossed my mind was, she's good looking. And the second thought, I kid you not, that crossed my mind was, I wonder if she's going where I'm going. And the third thought that crossed my mind was, no way, the world's too small and I'm on my way to look for a Bible college. And so when I got to the school, sure enough, there she was. That one right there. And 13 months later, I gave her my last name. And here we are 15 years later, doing life God's way and doing life together. But my point is, one day at a time, one decision at a time, Marsh and I made a conscious choice to seek God first and make him a part of every single decision we make. And y'all, this goes for big things, this goes for little things, this goes for how we're to handle conversations, the words we're to choose. I mean, and you can get too small and put it under the microscope. I mean, I don't get up and stand in the closet in the morning and pray in tongues until the Holy Spirit tells me what to wear. I'm hearing red plaid come up in my spirit today. No, God just gives you some things you just need to go on and do.
He does stand there a long time though.
You didn't have to tell that. But Jesus said in John 5:30, this is the life he lived. He said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus showed us how to do this life. He put God's will first. And I remember somebody saying to me some time back, they said, how, and I say this with all humility, but I want y'all to get this, because there is this idea in the kingdom that people think they have to miss the will of God. And I'm just telling you, that's absolutely untrue. And they said, how does it feel to know that everything you've ever done has always been successful? And to begin with, I would say to that person, well, everything I've always done hasn't been successful. I spent 4 years really screwing my life up. But I learned what does work and what doesn't work. And what I thought for a minute and said back to them was, that's called walking in the will of God. When we walk in God's will, it gives us the power to make our way prosperous. That's what he told Joshua. And now that I've lived in God's will, you couldn't pay me to get out of it.
Absolutely. And you know, the will of God is something you are either in or you're out of.
True.
We walk in or out of God's perfect will based on making decisions that are in or out of his will. Ask yourself this. I want you to ask yourself, how does my decisions, my actions, my attitude, or my words align with his plan for me? Ask yourself, is what I'm doing or about to do in line with his word? Mm-hmm. Whose will is winning here? His desire for my life or my desire for my life? Am I acting the way I want to or the way he wants me to? You know, it's not difficult to give up our right to do it our way, because once you see that his plan, God's plan for your life, is the very best plan, and his plan always, always, always is for your blessing, is for your benefit and increase. Hallelujah. When you know that, you can't wait to obey it, because you know on the other side of your obedience is increase. On the other side of your obedience is a life full of victories. On the other side of your obedience is a life full of joy and full of peace. On the other side of your obedience is satisfaction and fulfillment. You can't find that anywhere else but in the will of God for your life. But the word of God says that we must be taught to do his will. And that's found in Psalms 143, verse 10. It says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. We must be taught how to do his will.
Yes. We've also got to seek to know his will. Somebody say seek. We've got to seek to know his will. It doesn't just come to us by accident. We don't walk in the will of God by accident. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Rich, if the Bible tells me to understand his will, then that means God's given me the power to know his will, because he would not tell me to understand something I could not understand. Fair enough? He says, fair enough. He says, therefore, don't be unwise. The person who's unwise is a person who doesn't understand what God's will is. He wants us to walk in wisdom. And you've got to hear me say today that nobody wants you to know his plan for your life more than your Father in heaven. Just like as a parent, we freely and desire eagerly for our kids to want to know and do those things that are pleasing to us. Why? Because it's for their benefit. It's for their blessing. It's the same with your Father in heaven. He is not hiding his will from you. He has hidden it for you, for the purpose that you would come and seek him. And the result is I get to know him. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, did he leave anybody out? And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it might be opened. It will be open. Walking in the will of God, y'all, is not difficult. It's as simple as doing what I know to do today. It's as simple as doing what God's given me to do today. It's as simple as walking in the light of God's word that I already have. He doesn't expect you to know it all in one day. He just expects you to begin living what it is you've already heard.
Absolutely. We must seek to know his will, and we also must surrender to obey his will. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, it says, "Not my will, but yours be done." In other words, our attitude must be, "I want whatever you want for me." Make a decision today that from now on, you're going to do it His way. You're going to do it His way for your life. And I'm not going to try to do it anymore my way. I surrender to you. I trust in you. God, I choose to look at you first. I come to you before the mess because I know that His will gives me the ability to miss the mess. How many want to miss the mess?
Absolutely.
So many times we try to force God's will to happen in our life. We think we should accomplish something by a certain age, so we try to speed things up. Can I tell you, God's not in a hurry?
Yes. Good.
We marry the wrong person. We make wrong decisions because we're lonely or we want something somebody has. So we think we know more than God sometimes. So we force things that we want instead of waiting patiently for what God wants for our lives. And what He wants for our lives is always better than what we think we want. Do you believe that?
Yeah, one of the most powerful things I've heard said that made things so simple for me to understand is very simply this: His word is His will. His word is His will. Will you say that with me today? His word is His will. Let's say it again. His word is His will. One more time. His word is His will. Where can I find the will of God for my life? And what do I find in the word of God? The will of God. And where do I find the will of God? In the Word of God. And what's in the Word of God? The will of God. Somebody said, I prayed for direction in my life and all I got was Scripture. They want somebody to come prophesy and tell them where to go and what to do and who to marry. But you've got to know the number one way God speaks to you and reveals Himself to you is through His Word. Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 10 in the Living Bible says it like this: "For the Lord grants wisdom. His every word," His every what? "His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. He grants good sense to the godly, His saints. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their pathway. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time." I love that. How to find the right decision every single time. "For wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy." He says that's what will happen when we're in the Word. Now, y'all, life is full of decisions. Fair enough? You probably made a couple hundred decisions just getting here this morning, whether you even realize that or not. And every day we're faced with hundreds of decisions. They affect us. They affect everyone around us. You'll spend the rest of your life making decisions. There is no way out of it. Even a decision to not make a decision is still a decision. And the quality of life you'll enjoy, the amount of success or failure you'll experience, whether your life is marked by victory or defeat, whether you'll die fulfilled or frustrated, is totally dependent on your ability to make the right decisions at the right time.
And we need to realize that my life is not just left to fate. I cannot blame anyone else for what they've done to me. Can I just tell you today that life is unfair to everybody?
It's a good place to say amen.
You are not the only one.
It's true.
So many times we think we're the only one. Life is so unfair just to me. But life has been unfair to everybody. Everybody has a story. But you see, the difference maker is in the way we make decisions. Our life is a product of decisions we have made and the decisions that we will make. Decisions determine our destiny.
Yes.
Therefore, it is so important, extremely important, that you be able to make good decisions, that you be able to make godly choices. And you know how you do that? Get into the Word of God. It's powerful. We need to be like a bulldog with a brand new bone. You know what that bulldog knows about that bone? Number one, that it's his. and nobody's going to take it from him. And number two, that it's good. And that's the way we should be with the Word of God as believers. Number one, we know that his promises are our promises and that nobody's going to take that from us. The enemy, no one. And number two, that his promises are good. They're always good. Hallelujah. That's what we need to be like. Get the Word of God like a dog does with a bone, and don't let nobody take that from you. To decide like God, I must think like God. To think like God, I must renew my mind on his word. Get into the word of God. The more I read it, the more I see what he sees, the way he sees. I am able to think the way he thinks. I'm able to decide the way he decides. Everybody say with me, the word of God,
the word of God
is the will of God.
Is the will of God.
The word of God,
the word of God
is the will of God.
Is the will of God.
The word of God,
the word of God
is the will of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, I like that, because even here's what we think. We think if we can't find our specific situation in the Bible, then it didn't speak to us. But the word is alive and active. And so what happens is, as I get into it, even if it doesn't apply specifically what I'm reading that day to what I'm going through, it allows me to peek into the mind and will of God in general. And it helps me then shape my decisions based on the heart of the Father. I like this. Understanding his written will versus his revealed will. There's a difference. This one is written. This one's in black and white. And I've got to obey this first. But then there's some gaps in my life that we've got to fill in, where we do fill in the blank with the Holy Spirit. And that's his revealed will. So there's a written will and a revealed will. God's written desire and God's revealed desire. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said this: however, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Somebody say guide. He will guide you into that itinerary, into all truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. For he, or the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things, somebody say things, to come. If you have a pen, I want you to circle the word truth there in that scripture and circle the word things. Two things there. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth. Truth never changes. And so he will reveal the truth to me. But then he will also guide you into things. And things are the things that do change in my life. The Holy Spirit is the one who's able to help me understand God's plan for me, both written and revealed. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit for the things that don't change in our life and for the things that do. For example, Ephesians 4:28 says all of us should work so that we can have something to give, so that we can be a blessing to others. Work is the will of God. I know we live in a country that doesn't believe that anymore and rewards those who don't, but I still happen to believe if you don't work, you don't eat. And if we'd go back to that, people would get in line for a job a little bit quicker. But anyway, that's another story. So the will of God is that we work. However, how many of you believe that where you work is where you're supposed to be right now, and God has planted you there to be a blessing to somebody else? What's the name of your company, Mandy? American Health Holding. American Health Holding. So work is the will of God, Ephesians 4:28. But American Health Holding is not written in the Bible. I can't find those words in the Bible. Fair enough. So the Holy Spirit then shows me what I'm to do, but he also shows me where I'm to do it. Just like the Bible talks about marriage, how a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one, and what God joins together, let no man separate. The marriage is in the Bible. How to navigate marriage is in the Bible, but Marsha Janine Benford is not in the Bible. However, she was still written in my itinerary.
I thought I was in Proverbs.
Are you?
31.
Where? Oh, my goodness. Spare me the change, girl. Yes, you are Proverbs 31 woman.
It's too late.
You want to just wrap it up there? We need the Holy Spirit for both written and revealed will of God.
And do you know nothing glorifies God more than walking in his will? In John chapter 17, verse 4, it says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You bring glory to God by doing His will, and walking in His will gives you the ability to know Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Amen. There is a knowing in the going.
I love that. I think that's the greatest thing we get from walking in God's will, is we get to know who He is. We really get to see Him show up in the various situations of our life. Walking in the will of God, this is very important for you to hear today. Walking in the will of God doesn't mean life will always be easy. And I think this has unintentionally somewhere been communicated to many people that somehow if we walk in God's will, then it means life is going to be trouble-free. It's going to be smooth sailing. We're going to live on easy street. And what happens is when the storm hits their life, they go, "What's going on here? I thought I was in the will of God. I thought God was for me and nothing could stand against me. Why are these things happening to me? We've obeyed God. We gave our lives to Christ. We go to church. We read our Bible. We pay our tithes. We sing 'This Is Amazing Grace' on key." And they're shaken in these moments of their life. But when you make up your mind to walk in God's will, there is going to be a fight. There is going to be opposition that you're going to face. Satan is going to throw, just to be honest, the kitchen sink at you to try to drag you back out of your obedience to God's will and convince you it's just not worth it and the price tag is too high, because he is scared to death of the power and potential you have when you walk in God's plan and purpose for your life. And so my point today is that opposition is not an indication you are out of God's will. It is actually most of the time a sign that you are right smack dab in the center of it. I want you to think about this. The will of God sent Joseph to the pit and then to a prison before he got to the palace. The will of God sent Daniel to a lion's den. The will of God sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. The will of God sent John the Apostle to the isolated island prison of Patmos. The will of God led Paul to many trials and many troubles, where he was beaten and shipwrecked and left for dead and stoned. And at the end of the day, Jesus is our example, who gave us the pattern that we're to follow after. And the will of God led Jesus Christ even to an old rugged cross. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he got the victory before he ever went there. And in that garden, he said, "Not my will be done, but yours be done. God, even though I don't choose this, even though I may not want this, I surrender and submit my life to your plan and your path for me." And what you need to hear today is that God has promised to take you through even when he refuses to take you out. That means it's time for some of you to stop whining and start shining, because what he brings you to, he has promised to take you through. Can you give him praise?
Yes, and listen to this. You don't have to miss God's will to have a great testimony. You know, sometimes people minimize a testimony when you don't have one like Josh's. Because I don't have a testimony like Josh, because I didn't do drugs, I've been around the block 50 times and act crazy for all those years. My testimony is not worth anything. Can I tell you, young people especially, your testimony is just as powerful. Keep Amen. Yourself pure.
Say that.
Keep yourself. Live for God every day of your life, no matter how long it is, how young you are. You know, sometimes you look up at people and you're like, "Oh, Josh, you're so cool. I want a testimony like that." No, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
Now, I'm not minimizing Josh's testimony. It is powerful what God did in his life, but you don't have to go through that.
No, say that.
Especially young people, you don't have to go through that.
Yes.
Your testimony is just as powerful if you kept yourself pure. Your testimony is just as powerful if you don't do drugs. Your testimony is just as powerful if you obey your parents' rules in their house.
Yes, amen.
It's time to bring that back. You want a testimony that's pure. Hallelujah.
That's so good.
You can live and remain in his perfect will every single day. You say, "No way. How is that possible?" doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake, but don't make those mistakes a lifestyle.
Right.
Don't go days and days, months and months, years and years. Cut them down to moments or even minutes. Step back into God's will today by simply saying, Father, I missed it, and you fill in the blank, whatever you're struggling with, forgive me.
Yes.
His plan for your life doesn't change when we fall. You need to get back up.
Yes.
His grace is sufficient for you. You can be your best and enjoy God's best, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus, the Almighty God, has done for you.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with you. He's the one that did it for you. You were born for a reason, but you were only born for a season. So let's make our lives count for Jesus. Let's make our lives count for Christ. Let's start living out the word day by day, seeking after God, seeking after His will, and walking in that path for our life, walking in that will for our day by day, step by step. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question today. Are you in God's will for your life? Or is there areas that you know you're disobedient to what He's already told you or showed you? Are you living in God's will for your life? Without a doubt, there are some of you here today that you'd say, Josh, I'm not. And I know I'm not. And the point and purpose of this message is to bring you to this moment, because the Father wants you to come back and step into His plan. Maybe you say, Josh, I'm here today and I've been holding unforgiveness towards a person for weeks or months or maybe years. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I've not been obedient to God in an area of my life where I know I should be. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I've got sin in my life and there's something I'm dealing with that, to be honest with you, I've been doing my own thing. And if that's you here today and you say, Josh, I'm not in God's will. I'm not doing what He desires. I've been doing it my way instead of His. Would you just raise your hand and wave at me today? I see many hands. Many hands. Like Marcia said, it's as simple as saying, Father, forgive me. And stepping back into obedience. Do that today. Do that today. Thank you for your honesty. You know, confession is the beginning of healing. James 5 says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And I believe God's going to bring wholeness into your life, but you have to do something about it. You have to take a step today. You have to be obedient to Him today. And I want to encourage you to do that. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer, but I want you to take a moment right now to just say, Father, forgive me where I've been out of your will. I choose right now to come back into it. I choose to submit to you. I choose to obey you. I thank you for loving me. Thank you that I can't fail my way out of your plan for my life. It's still intact if I'll just come back. It hasn't changed. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I don't know Christ as my Savior. And today I want to. I want to come to Him. I want to begin a relationship with Him. Friend, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Sin is what separates us from God. That's why Jesus came. He lived a sinless life because of our sinful life. And He said, I'll die in your place as your substitute. I'll die your death so you can live my life. I'll be cursed so that you can be blessed. Salvation is real simple. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you're here today and you want to take that step, in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to raise your hand and wave at me so I know who I'm praying with. Everybody's got their eyes closed. This is between you and God. Maybe you're here today and you've been living away from God. Today, you want to come back home. He's got His arms open, and He's waiting for you. Josh, that's me. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Is there someone else? Just wave at me where I can see you. Thank you, thank you. Is there another one here today? I see you there, buddy.